the precious woman she is childless and grief-stricken, though she still honors you with her praises.
My God, show me great mercy. Show me great mercy. For many say it is impossible. But you know that we serve and worship you. And out of a barren womb, you, O God, can bring life.
She honors you with all that she is, O God, with her words, her attitude, her heart. You are our God, no matter what.
Elizabeth fought her grief with prayer and praising, faithfully returning to her Lord over and over. And what her Lord had just told her husband was about to turn everything on its head.
It is He who sent me to bring you the good news. You will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For what He has spoken will be fulfilled.
What is it? My husband, speak to me! What happened in there? The Lord? What did you hear? Baby? Our baby? Oh.
So now, there it was. The mundane has become miraculous. Ritual has become radiant. The lost are now found. And the faithful, well, the faithful become a conduit that God uses to show us His mighty miracles and His endless love for the world. For God so loved the world. When God speaks, heavens rise and the earth bows. Prophecy is fulfilled. And God leads us to a holy place that was once hollow. And hope grows where hurt was once rooted. How He cares for our little messes. How He picks up the broken pieces of our lives. When God speaks, the land and the sea separate. Time becomes eternity. Yes, my friends, God is just getting started. A baby boy. Silence is over. For yet to come is another baby boy who will change everything that we thought we knew about God and put this earth on a collision course with His divine love. For God so loved the world. You may have heard that somewhere.
Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.
Like sheep who stray too far from their shepherd, we too often lose our way. And once caught in the thicket, all we long for is our release. Sin ensnares us all, much like this thicket. What ransom would God pay to provide us freedom? In ancient writings, a Savior was prophesied. And in some strange twist, the cosmic twist that defies understanding, it would bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It was also prophesied that God would give us a sign, a glorious sign, a sign so unusual that it would confound all comprehension. From Isaiah, a young woman shall conceive, though never having been with a man, and she shall bring forth a baby boy, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us.
Mother? Father? Joseph?
Mary, you are highly favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you.
A Savior was coming. And it would be our sin that would break His heart and eventually crucify Him on a cross. The very wickedness that we inhabit would crush and bring punishment.
Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus.
How can this be? This is impossible.
Nothing is impossible with God.
I am the servant of the Lord. Let everything that you have said about me come true.
A young woman says yes. Oh, my Lord. And it would take some time before she fully understood the sacrifice that God had asked her to make that night. But she believed and obeyed. There was to be a ransom. The ransom, God's Son. Brought to life through this young woman, Mary, who said yes to Him.
Yes, Lord.
When we say yes, it changes everything.
Thank you.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream.
There were 14 generations between Father Abraham and King David. There was another 14 generations between David and the Babylonian exile. There was another 14 generations between the exile and this moment. A 2,000-year lineage that was comprised of slaves, warrior kings like David, prophets, adulterers, and yes, even prostitutes like Rahab. These were the faithful, and there were the faithless. Three sets of 14 generations, and then a great king would be born. So what kind of king would he be? Though many dreamed of the day that this king would come, it began as a real life nightmare for Joseph, a good man with God's lot cast upon him.
I promise you, Joseph, I'm telling you the truth. The angel came.
Mary, I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm saying I don't know if I believe it. She's pregnant, but I haven't been with her. That baby's not mine. I can't do this. I'll divorce her quietly. Mary, you promised. Mary, you said you're telling the truth. Mary, what have you done?
Joseph, you are a descendant of David. Your ancestors have taken great steps of faith. Now it is time for you to take a step of faith. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It is prophecy fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Emmanuel? God with us.
A dream. A heavenly visitation. And what was distressing was now a blessing. A blessing that would challenge Joseph's faith and demand every ounce of his character and forever alter the course of his life and yours.
A dream. The angel. Emmanuel. God, you are with us.
Thank you.
same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger.
Man has had to work the field since the fall in the garden, by beast or by crop, in times of plenty or in drought. It was either tame the land or be tamed by it. The shepherd knew this well. He was the keeper, the guardian. He was the guide. And his flock, aimless in spite of all of his efforts, would carry him far away to chase their fickle hearts. How peculiar that God omnipotent would take on the role of a shepherd. And even more peculiar how he would use the lowliest of these caretakers to announce to the world the arrival of Emmanuel.
Joseph, what can't you build a decent fire? It's gone out again. Joseph, never mind. I'll do it myself. All right, come on. Come on, light. 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 Joseph, get up.
Pony.
Joseph, get up, get up!
Oh, Obadiah, what is it?
Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid. You don't be afraid, and I'll stay afraid.
I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
A baby
in a manger?
Go. The light's all around us.
I'm afraid, but I'm overjoyed.
Yes,
the Savior is here. Beyond words, I'm overjoyed, Joseph. He's here, and he's here on our watch. Oh.
Obadiah, but why? Why would they tell us?
I don't know. I don't care. Look. There.
Wait, what is that?
Star.
With all we've seen tonight, I have to think we're supposed to follow that.
Yes, with all of our heart, Joseph.
Then we should hurry.
Let's run. Let's go.
The Savior's here.
He's here, Joseph.
Praise God.
The Savior's here. The Messiah. The Savior. Come on.
Hear that.
He's
here.
And so the shepherds left their flock and hurried to Bethlehem, where they found Mary and Joseph, just like they were told. In society's eyes, these shepherds should not have been the first to welcome the King of Kings. But isn't it just like God Almighty to allow the lowliest of peoples to do amazing things for His glory? Now, let you and I go and follow His star.
The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
There is a voice that calls life from unexpected places.
Barren lands will flourish with new creation.
There is one who is searching
for the pure in heart,
waiting to find those who will trust.
So, what choice will you make?
Because it may feel like choosing between life and death, but look closer.
All He has ever offered us is life.
God has come to the most unlikely people,
urging them to follow,
asking them to trust.
The stories have been told for centuries.
The people have been waiting.
The wait is nearly over.
The time is now.
Today, our Savior is born to bring light into dark places.
To be the voice in the wilderness.
To call you to come home.
To bring joy to the world.
God has chosen you, and He does not make mistakes.
God's timing is not our timing.
His love is not our love.
He has turned His love into flesh and blood.
And for that, we rejoice.
Emmanuel.
So don't wait. Don't pack. Don't plan.
Just go.
There is a world lost and hungry.
There is a world lonely and wandering.
And He has called us to go and tell them.
Go and tell them what God is doing.
Go and tell them that God is coming.
Go and tell them
God
is here.
The tapestry of the story, that you have just heard includes every one of us. It's interesting how many times, if you know your Bible, that the story of Jesus doesn't begin in Bethlehem. It doesn't begin with the angel speaking to Joseph or Mary. It begins all the way back at the very dawn of time. And many times this morning, that story, that tapestry, the threads have reached back. All the way to the Garden of Eden, as it were, after the fall of man, when the first promise, that first, if you will, a spark of light shone in the darkness of sin, when God prophesied that there would one day come a child born of a woman. But that child and that picture, it was so foggy and hazy at that point. And we were so wicked. And as the story unfolded, we seemed to be the most hopeless, helpless lot of people. But God, in meeting our sin, met it with a love that would never quit. And so over and over again, His love stepped in where our sin had left us with no hope. And His plan that started on that day in a pagan land when He said to a man, leave your country, go to a land that I am going to show you. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Do you hear your name echo in that prophecy? And so from Abraham and from his seed, you see a story unfold in the Old Testament. And as it were, in a dark room, the door progressively opens and a light shines in. And we progressively learn more. And this morning, you heard already a prophet, Isaiah. He had said some things. Let me just read you something Isaiah wrote. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. How many of you enjoyed the snow this week? Wasn't that lovely? I could do with that once a year. Now, I lived in Chicago for a number of years, and we had snow once a year. It just lasted for a few months. And you shoveled the driveway, and then the snowplow filled it up again, and those things. And so we didn't exactly love the snow, but I'll tell you what, in Texas, I love the snow. This last week it snowed. My kids were out making snowmen and having a wonderful time, and by 5 o'clock the next afternoon, it was gone. It was beautiful that night. In fact, I was inside, and they were saying that it was snowing, and I had driven home, and it was snowing. But hey, I've lived in Texas. It snows every once in a while, and it turns to slush and mud. And so as I drove home, nothing was sticking. I went into the house, and then they said, hey, it's snowing outside. And eventually I walked out, and I was stunned. The ground was white. I mean, this is Texas, after all. That doesn't happen. And it covered everything. It was so beautiful. You know what? That's like a picture. Isaiah wants us to see that. It's like our lives. Our lives can be cluttered, and they can be ugly, and there can be mud and muck. And all of that in our lives. He says, yes, it's there, but though your sins are as scarlet, though they're really darkened and red, yet they shall be white as snow. That washing. The same prophet, Isaiah, I just turn over a couple of pages and I read these words. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. I turn over a couple more pages and I read this. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. I know some of you are thinking, wait a minute. We're talking about Jesus, aren't we? Yeah. Well, that doesn't quite sound like him. Remember, he didn't end up real well. He was hung on a cross. Yeah, that same prophet, Isaiah, I'll turn over a few more pages, and I'll read these words. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity, that's the sin, of us all to fall on him. That's me. That's you. If you're here this morning and the story of Christmas seems like a mixture of some ancient story and then Madison Avenue and all of the celebrations today, let me tell you, it isn't. The real story of Christmas, the real message here is that my sin and yours can be wiped away. Not because God has a magic sleight of hand, but because joy came to the world the night that Jesus came. And the night that Jesus came was the beginning of God's rescue mission to save us. Jesus' death on the cross was what paid the penalty for my sin and yours. And it is by faith in Jesus. It is not by anything that you and I do. It is by us humbly looking to the cross where Jesus died for our sin and saying, the babe of Christmas born for us gave his life for me. I believe. And in that moment, you change. Your future moves from hopeless and helpless to hopeful and eternal. For the eternal life that God gives through Jesus Christ is a free gift by faith. Truly, Christmas is a time to say joy to all the world. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a time we have had this morning. We have gone back. We have seen the story of Christmas. And we see a message here, a message of hope. You broke through time and space, and you have made yourself a price for our sin. You've paid it. Heavenly Father, if there is anyone here who doesn't know that joy, may this morning be their morning when the message of Christmas, the real message, comes home to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you stand and join us, and joy to the world. Amen. And if I may, I'm going to share a prayer, and then you'll all be dismissed. You ready? Lord, just thank you. Thank you for this time to remember this season. From these little voices that sang your praises to the sound of the trumpet that exalts your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift that you had planned from the beginning of time, from before the moment that you shared, "Let there be light." You had us in mind. And you had a gift prepared. Lord, thank you for that gift. And for his sharing the depth of your love. When your gift shared with us that there is no love greater than this, that a man should lay down his life, which is what he did. Ransom. He paid for us all. Thank you also for this reminder as we give our gifts to our friends and family. Lord, the depth of your love was such that while we were yet sinners, your ransom was paid. Lord, bless each and every home. Fill the homes with joy and with praise. Allow those who are our loved ones that we care about and are concerned about that they open the door because you stand there and knock. Thank you, Lord. Happy birthday, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All dismissed.